3-4-8-2-7. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
The Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. The Joe Pag Show. Glad to have you here on a Tuesday. Oh, yeah, crazy train on that Tuesday. I. La da bee boo dee ba ba dee dee ba da bo do ba 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 ba. Glad to have you here. Welcome to the program. Thanks. A lot going on as usual. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. That's Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what's going on?
Hey, oh, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
A lot to get to. We'll have Hogan Gidley on. He is the principal deputy press secretary from the White House. Going to talk about the crisis on the border, the emergency declaration, the president talking about an executive order for free speech on campuses, which is kind of nuts. I don't know why you would need that, but we talk about that. Also, the ending of the conversation between Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump. The way the media is reporting it. As far as you know, it was ended early, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
But he says that's not true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he says the media is misreporting that.
Great.
He said, not the case. Not so. So we'll talk about that. That'll be bottom of hour number two. Also have Nico LaHood. He's the former Bexar County DA. He's now in private practice. Talk to him about attorney-client privilege. I wondered because of the whole Cohen thing. And Carrie, if you don't mind, if you can take a look and maybe find me a story on, I guess there was a story I saw last night just in passing that Michael Cohen's lawyers were looking for a pardon before he spoke to the FBI.
Oh, right. I did hear that.
So, okay. I mean, again, if we're supposed to believe Michael Cohen, who sat down in front of the House panel the other day, and then the next day, another different panel. And he's just suddenly care for the people, care for veterans, care for Gold Star families, I mean, care for the border, care for the children. He's got all this stuff going on and just completely 180 degrees away from where he was before. Well, if the guy was angling for a pardon, how seriously should we take his testimony? I think it's a valid question, isn't it?
It is, yes.
You seeing anything in your news wires and your various sources?
Actually,
Ken, give me something on that. And I wonder if people will admit that they were listening to Cohen and maybe believing some of what he said. And I wonder if this will change their opinion on Michael Cohen and what he had to say in front of the, what was it? It was the House Oversight Committee. That was the House Judiciary Committee or the Intelligence Committee. So, I mean, he was in front of a bunch of different committees. But if there's truth to the fact that he was seeking a pardon before he spoke to the FBI, then everything and anything he says after that is completely, to me, null and void. What do you have for me?
This is from NBC News. A lawyer for Michael Cohen first broached the idea of a pardon with President Donald Trump's legal team. Two people familiar with the matter tell NBC News, and the ensuing pardon discussions are now under an examination by House and Senate Intelligence Committees. The Wall Street Journal reported Tuesday Cohen's lawyer, Stephen Ryan, first mentioned the idea of a pardon with the Trump legal team in the weeks after the April raid on Cohen's home and office, that the president's lawyers, including Jay Sekulow, Rudy Giuliani, and Joanna Hendon, dismissed the idea. But at least one of them, Giuliani, left open the possibility the president could grant Cohen one in the future, the Journal reported. NBC News spoke to three people, one of whom is familiar with what Cohen told the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, one of whom is familiar with Cohen's account, and one of whom is familiar with the account of Trump's legal team. None of them disputed the Journal reporting. The sources familiar with Cohen's closed-door congressional testimony say there was more than one discussion about pardons and that regardless of who initiated it, Congress is examining the question of whether the White House used the promise of a pardon to induce Cohen to continue his false story. A person close to Cohen said he was part of a joint defense agreement at the time, that he certainly would have accepted a pardon. It's not clear how serious the discussions were. No pardon was forthcoming, and Cohen eventually broke with Trump and said publicly he would not accept a pardon if offered.
Even though he was seeking one, allegedly.
Right.
And now the Oversight Committee wants to know if there was a pardon promised?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carrie, maybe I'm dumb, and you say so all the time. Maybe I'm not following. But what? Why exactly, if a pardon was promised, didn't he get one?
Well, it wasn't promised.
Oh, no, no, no. But the House committee wants to find out if there was one promised.
Oh, I see.
Why are they investigating whether there was a promise of a pardon if one didn't happen? You know what I mean?
If
there was some deal. See, they're suggesting there was a deal where Michael Cohen would keep on doing the president's bidding and there was a promise that he'd be pardoned, right? That's what they're suggesting.
Right.
So why didn't he just do it then? If that were the deal, does the president have the power to pardon? I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
So you're saying he can if he wants to?
Yes.
So he could have, Michael Cohen?
Yes.
I mean, he's pardoned other people. Why not? So why would you investigate something that didn't happen? And even if the president does pardon Michael Cohen, he still has the right to do so. I mean, there have been presidential pardons that'll make your head spin, not just from this president, from every other president's ever been in there. Yet there wasn't some big panel investigation to why Mark Rich got a pardon from Bill Clinton. I mean, this is, again, let me pretend there's a news story there, and then we'll go with it as if it happened, even though we know full well the evidence shows it didn't happen. This isn't even a hard one. My 10-year-old daughter said, hey, Dad, just to let you know, Michael Cohen didn't get a pardon, so there was no pardon. My 10-year-old came in and said that.
I'm sure.
She should be on the House Judiciary Committee or something.
Very intelligent, yes.
Extremely intelligent. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Yeah, we'll come out of the box with a little bit of politics today. We'll lighten things up later. I got to ask you this. Hillary Clinton says she's not running.
I know. Heard that.
Is everybody as surprised as I am? Because, again, she thinks she should be the president right now. Oh, she showed up at a Southern Baptist church again. Did you see that one?
I did, yeah. I did. Heard what she said.
I mean, she broke out the accent again. Y'all need to go with your bones. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Hillary? Does she think people buy it?
Yeah.
She's so Southern. She's just Southern today. It's just the weirdest thing. There is such a level of delusion in that woman and that entire family. It's just weird, dude. It's strange. I mean, just go to the pasture now. Just go relax and retire. But she's not running for president. Michael Bloomberg says he's not running for president.
Mm-hmm.
So far you've got liberal, more liberal, socialist, and socialist running. I guess CNN, and you can't really believe anything CNN says, they did some poll, some survey about Joe Biden, and I guess his negatives were off the charts. So, I mean, Joe Biden is acting like he's the heir apparent. I just want to see as many as possible run on the Democrat side.
What are we up to now? 12 or 13, I think?
At least.
14, yeah.
At least. And here we are almost 2 years before the election.
Yeah.
I hope it's like 40. I think it'd be funny. I hope it's like 40.
It might be a little messy, but okay.
So your thoughts when you hear that Michael Cohen, who we're all supposed to believe is the beacon of truth and honesty, that he was seeking a pardon before he spoke to the FBI. Your thoughts then, does that change your position on that? And Hillary says she's not running. Do you believe her? And on top of that, Joe Biden's got a bunch of negatives. Michael Bloomberg's not running. Who's going to be the person on the Democratic side? I don't think there's any way almost 80-year-old Bernie Sanders is going to be the guy. Because the way and the wave of the left is younger, dumber, attractive, and more like a superstar. And I just don't think 77, 78-year-old Bernie Sanders is going to pull that kind of number. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Patrick.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
Great to have you. It is the Joe Pag Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Oh, with Carrie, Polo, Sam, we're getting it done for you. Glad to have you along for the ride. And you know, I just wonder, when I hear the story of Michael Cohen, and again, we'll have Nico LaHood on later on. He's going to talk about the attorney-client privilege that I thought that you had to actually honor. I guess if you don't want to be a lawyer anymore, if you know that you're going to be disbarred, you can lie your ass off and do whatever you want and completely just add nothing was private between us, I guess. I thought that there would be criminal charges. I guess not. It's more of a civil issue. And certainly you can be disbarred and you can be kicked out of the profession. But Michael Cohen was being kicked out of the profession anyway. The idea that he wanted a pardon and they were looking at it and actually talking about the possibility of a pardon before he talked to anybody, it tells me a lot. It also tells me how dumb the Democrats in the House think we are when they say, we're going to investigate whether there was a deal. Well, again, if there were a deal, a pardon would have been granted. It didn't happen. So, you know, let's get a clue. But this is what it's going to look like for the next 2 years. We talked about this yesterday at length. It's going to be investigation after investigation. Yesterday, they announced, what, 81 names that they want in front of, you know, some sort of Senate hearing or House hearing. And it's just going to be 2 years of molasses. And they know that it's bunk. They know that it's based on nothing. They know there's no Russia collusion. They know none of that's going on. But I got to be honest with you. They're not going to stop because they think some of it's going to stick. It's almost like throwing spaghetti against the wall. Let's see if it sticks. And that's exactly what their goal is. Well, enough people will believe us to where we could either get the Senate back or we can go ahead and beat him in the general election in 2020. That's the goal. What they didn't expect was that the economy would be so good. What they didn't expect is that the president would have 50% or more approval rating at this point when most presidents don't. They didn't expect that. They didn't expect so much good would be happening. So I definitely want to hear from you. Now that you hear that Michael Cohen was edging for a pardon, does that change whether you believed anything he said the other day? And, Carrie, a lot of people tell me the only thing they believed him the other day on was his name. That he liked his wife or something.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So there you go. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone line. Say hi to line one is Bob in Kansas. Bob, what's going on? Hi.
Why does the president tweet instead of having a primetime speech where he lays out for the American people all the illegal stuff that has been done in the Mueller investigation and before Mueller even got involved?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. You want to do a primetime speech anytime the ridiculous idiots in the House say something? What do you mean?
No, I want him to do a speech covering everything that you and Sean and Rush have been talking about for 2 years.
Well, he's a little busy. He's actually the president. He has a job, Bob. I mean, you really want him to focus his attention on this? This is what they want him to do. I'd rather that he go out there and make treaties.
I would like him to come out and spell the whole thing out like you guys have been doing for 2 years.
Well, but Bob, why does he have to is what my question is. I mean, it's part of what I do and what the others that you mentioned do. Why should he have to?
There are
ignorant people out there that can listen to people like me and either get unignorant or they're going to stay on that train. He can go. You really think that he's going to go out there and respond, Bob, and then AOC is going to say, hey, I was wrong about Trump. I mean, what do you think the end result is going to be? You think that Democrats are going to change their mind if he comes out and speaks?
No,
they hate the guy.
Change the mind of 3% of the people on the fence. That would be great.
Right, but you understand the media is offering fair time to the opposite side. Every time the man speaks, they let the left respond, whether it's Schumer or Pelosi or AOC or whomever. So I think that his ability to reach 100 million people by sending out a tweet is pretty good. I think that he's doing it right. I mean, I don't think he would get a fair shake. A, primetime television probably wouldn't cover him. And if they did cover him, they would hand him a response from the left that will make him look even worse. I think that he does it this way, Bob, because he can control the message. It doesn't have to be filtered through the media. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, Joe. One more thing on the topic you're on with Cohen.
Yeah.
I think he's a weasel, this and that.
Yeah.
But I think he should be pardoned, like they all should be pardoned, because it's fruit of the poison tree. His whole investigation was illegal, so no matter what he did, he should be pardoned.
I disagree. I don't think, hey, Bob, I love you like a brother, but I disagree. Michael Cohen should not be pardoned. Michael Cohen made his own bed. All he had to do was stay consistent. All he had to do was say, listen, attorney-client privilege. I can't talk about anything that we talked about. And that's completely admissible in court. 100%. There should be no question whatsoever that he had every right to say, I can't talk about that. What my client and I talked about in our meetings as an attorney and a client, that's protected. You know it's protected. It's ridiculous that you're asking me. The guy rolled. The guy got scared. He lied under oath. And he got caught and he made a plea deal. He never should have. Who did we talk to last week? Carrie, I can't think of who it was, but they said it's a great conversation, too. Not my end. Their end.
Yeah, of course.
Louis Gohmert. Louis Gohmert said that Michael Cohen probably pleaded guilty to something that wasn't a crime. So, I mean,
okay.
Help me understand. So, the idea that he should get a pardon now, sorry, he's too stupid to get a pardon. I don't think dumb people should get pardons. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I understand why you think going out in front of television cameras would somehow help the president. But for some reason, the legacy media is giving, well, I know the reason, the legacy media is giving the left an opportunity every time he speaks to counterbalance what he said, whereas his tweets, he can just tweet them out, do what you want with them. Boom, there you go. I'm busy saving the world. I think that he's doing it the right way, to be honest with you. Wayne, Texas, what's going on?
Hey, man. First of all, I want to say it real quick. You need to do another parody, and I think I love your parodies. I don't care what anybody else says.
Thank you.
Two a day.
Okay, well, we'll look at that. Carrie, what do you think? Two a day.
No, my vote is no on that. No,
Carrie's saying because no. Carrie's a hater. All right, what's going on, Wayne? Talk to me.
Hey, man. Yeah, I don't think Michael Cohen needs a pardon. You know, down here in Texas, we got a thing called aggravated perjury, and you don't have to prove which statement is right. It just proves that they both can't be.
Right.
And at the end of the day, he needs to hang on it. You know, and I was listening to some of the other conversation you had with the other caller.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. The president doesn't need to come out and respond every single time somebody says something on in the media. You know, when I sit back and I talk to, I've got some liberals in my family, you know, and I mean, I love them still, but they're liberals.
Right.
But the looks on their faces when they start talking about like things like the wall, and you know, it doesn't need to happen. And it's like, well, yes, it does. Because when we don't have, I mean, we've got the wall up, it creates a funnel. It gives our Border Patrol guys a little bit more, a less area to have to work and concentrate on where they're coming in these points of egress.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, the president's not giving anything. And I said, what do you mean? He gave them DACA. And the looks on their face when you say they don't, they want to listen to what they want to hear.
Right.
And they don't want to hear the absolute truth.
I'm with you. No, you know, I don't have a ton of liberals in my circle, to be honest with you. But anytime people bring up points that they think they know about the president, it's always something they're just regurgitating from the legacy media. And just give them a little bit of information. And they go, really? I didn't know that. And if they're wise, if they're listening, if they're open-minded, they'll get it. If they're not, they're just going to keep on going on and churning what they heard.
You know, and I'm all about taking care of your brothers and taking care of your neighbors and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, there comes a point where you have to be able to take care. I mean, if they need a hand, give them a hand. But, man, at some point, they're going to have to stand up and help themselves. You know, and I don't mean to sound like a bad guy or a mean guy when I say that. But,
right.
You know, president's taking care of our country, and he's absolutely done every single thing that he said he's going to do.
I got you.
I mean, and the Democrats hating for it.
Well, you're right. I mean, he made a bunch of promises, and he's actually sticking to his guns. He was silly enough to think it doesn't matter that I'm a politician. If I say I'm going to do it, I should do it. And he's doing it, and the Democrats are freaking out. They honestly thought that he would get to Washington and play ball and maybe just roll over. They got the wrong guy.
Well, then, unfortunately, that's what needed to happen. Somebody that wouldn't play ball, somebody would get there, stick to their guns, and do their job.
Yeah.
And how refreshing is this? Somebody actually does what they say they're going to do.
Imagine that, right? Wayne, I appreciate you. Open line. No, he's right. He's absolutely right. And that's part and parcel. They didn't know what they were getting with Trump when they got him, and it wasn't Hillary that freaked him out, but they still wanted to see what he was going to do, and he immediately started to actually work on his agenda, and they had a plan in action already to try to get rid of him. It's not working. They're not going to stop, though. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
No commitment.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, the live video feed is there as well. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Thanks for stopping by. I can't do politics for three. We're going to do a lot of politics later. But for those of you who are calling, and I appreciate you, we're gonna move on to something else. Joe Rogan is a guy that I became familiar with because he was on the TV show Talk Radio, or was it News Radio? I think it was called News Radio. And I thought his name was Joe the Engineer, I believe, on that program. Phil Hartman, I think, was the star, one of the talk show hosts. He had several other people that wanted to do other stuff on that program. I thought it was a cool program. Didn't last very long, a few seasons. But that's where I became familiar with him. I guess in this day and age, after that he did Fear Factor, where he was the host. You know Joe Rogan, right?
I am aware, yep. Never saw any of the shows, but yeah, I know who he is.
And you never watched Fear Factor?
I did not. No.
Wow, what do you watch exactly?
I don't watch a whole lot of TV, really.
Freaking OWN and Lifetime or what?
Oh, Lifetime and Hallmark. Yeah, those three.
Wow.
They rock. Yeah, those guys.
Mario,
stuff.
I'm sorry.
Good, wholesome stuff.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for me.
I'm sorry. Feel sorry for your husband. By the way, Wayne was very, he was on point. Best call of the month by far. Two parodies a day. And Wayne's out there, by the way, law enforcement, Wayne. From what I understand. Wayne, I appreciate what you do for us. So, Joe Rogan, a guy I'm a fan of. I think he's cool. He's also, is it UFC or MMA that he's into, Polo? That he's like one of the hosts of and all that?
I believe it's the UFC, which is MMA.
Right, but I mean, there's a UFC and there's another one, isn't there? Aren't there two different ones?
There's a bunch of different ones out there. I mean, there's...
Okay.
Yeah, there's
the UFC's the big one.
Right.
So he's into MMA. He's one of the hosts and he's been very heavily involved in the UFC and all that stuff. Great. I have no issues. He's also a Hollywood type who you would think would be a typical lefty, but he's not. He actually seems to be a common sense guy. And I like that about him. I like that about anybody from Hollywood who can actually use common sense and not default to being a far leftist. Well, he puts out some blog or some podcast or something. I didn't listen to it, but I did read the story about it from the Daily Mirror or something out of the UK. And he talks about the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Have you heard about this?
No.
His comments on the movie?
No.
He said that he made the mistake of watching the movie with his 8 or 10-year-old child over the weekend. It's a big mistake.
Okay.
I'm like, well, why is that a big mistake? And he goes on, I guess, to talk about how it's an absolutely transphobic movie and trying to explain what was going on in the movie to this child was a real problem. Now, for those who haven't seen it, it was out in 1994. So if you haven't seen, let's see, he watched it with his 8-year-old and 10-year-old. So he watched it with two kids. If you haven't seen it, that's on you. It's 25 years old, the movie. So I'm gonna talk about the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not this.
Come on now.
Spoiler alert.
It's been a while.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Right. The premise of the movie is Jim Carrey is Ace Ventura. He's a so-called pet detective. And I guess the mundane jobs he would do, he'd go and find some rich lady's poodle ran away. He'd go find it and give it back. And there was some bird that was worth a lot of money that sort of was a running joke through the movie. Can he go and find the bird? Some white peacock, or not a peacock, but a pigeon or something of some sort. But it's based in Miami. I like the movie, of course, because it was based in the Miami Dolphins were very involved. Dan Marino was in the movie, my favorite quarterback ever. Long story short, he gets kidnapped, and they're trying to figure out who kidnapped him and why they kidnapped him. And I guess because also the dolphin that was the mascot of the Dolphins was kidnapped, Ace Ventura was brought in. And it's a funny, it's where we get, all righty, Ben. And he bends over, he's talking out of his rear end. Tone Loc was in the movie. I mean, it's a funny movie. It's before Jim Carrey became a nut job. But the bad guy in the movie is Sean Young. And Sean Young is a woman, a very pretty woman, played the role Lois Einhorn. This is just off the top of my head. Now, when allegedly the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl, this is going to get very in the weeds here if I don't try to explain it better than this. But they were at the Super Bowl. They could have won the Super Bowl or the championship game or something had the kicker, Ray Finkel, kicked the ball through the uprights and got the field goal, the extra point, whatever the hell the problem was. But it was wide right. He missed it. Ray Finkel, the kicker, blamed Dan Marino because he didn't have the laces of the football facing out when he kicked it. Carrie, are we following this?
Yes, gotcha. So far, so good.
Now, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie, you're in the weeds at this point. So, again, back then, the quarterback would actually take the... Now, Dan Marino never did. He was too much of a big star. So the whole premise that he was holding the ball for the kick was stupid anyway. But, generally speaking, the quarterback would take would hike the ball, put it down so the place kicker could kick the ball. The laces have to be out. Otherwise, if you kick the laces, the ball could go right, it could go left, could do anything. So the kicker blames Dan Marino for why they lost the game. And, of course, the entire community blamed the kicker. Long story, extremely long story, very short. Ray Finkel, it turns out, is Lois Einhorn. And Ray Finkel, I guess, in our terminology in this day and age, would be transgendered. Although, at the end of the movie, obviously the surgery hasn't been done. And they show us a very graphic scene. Carrie, am I right here? Where
You're
we now
right.
know
yes.
that
yes.
Lois Einhorn is, in fact, Ray Hinkle, Finkel, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
So Joe Rogan is now applauding the fact that 25 years later, we now are aware of transphobia. And the movie was entirely transphobic. And he never should have watched it with his 8 to 10-year-old child. And I'm thinking, what? Now, Joe Rogan claims he was 10 years old when the movie came out. You think Joe Rogan was born in 1984? I don't think so.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no to that, too. I think he's full of it. But anyway, and by the way, I've invited him on the show. We'll see if he comes on. That'd be kind of a fun conversation.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
But he's alleging, now, the reason why he says it's transphobic, because when all the cops at the last scene, or one of the last scenes, is when all the cops are made aware of Lois Einhorn not being a woman, she's pretending to be, is really, in fact, still Ray Finkel or whoever, and, in fact, still has the body parts of a man, all the cops start throwing up and spitting, and because, to me, the scene doesn't say they're all, you know, throwing up or vomiting because this is a transgender person. To me, it's everybody going, holy crap, I made out with that person, and I had no idea that it was really a man when I thought it was a woman.
Right, right.
Now, let me be as direct as I can be here. And I want to be Captain Obvious for just a second. Heterosexual men like to make out with and have relations with heterosexual women. If a heterosexual man thinks he's with a woman and it turns out he's with a man, that could be stomach turning. I'm guessing the same way a gay man would want to be with a gay man, and if he ends up waking up one day and going, oh crap, I was really with a woman, that might be stomach turning. That has nothing to do with being transphobic. That has nothing to do with transgenderism or this whole new age thing where you can be any gender you want to be. Facts are facts. Birds and bees. Life is life. Straight people want relations with straight people. Gay people want relations with the same gender they are, and I guess they want them to be gay. They would have to be with them. Otherwise, what are we talking about? Now, I've never been in a position to where I accidentally picked up a dude. And Carrie, I'm going to get personal here. Picked up a dude and all took him home or something. Never happened to Pagsy.
Appreciate your honesty. Okay, good.
Had it ever happened, and that I found out later that the person tricked me into thinking it was a she when it was really a he, I would have a stomach turning moment. Why is that not a human reaction? How is that transphobic? Have I set that scene at the end of that movie correctly, or am I wrong?
No, that's pretty spot on.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was just gonna say, I don't really know if you can go the trans route, because my understanding from the movie, the Ray Finkel character was pretending to be a woman because of the fact that everybody hated him so much because he missed a kick. So it was never because he felt like he was a woman or he was transitioning to become a woman because...
And he never became a woman because he still had the junk, obviously.
Right,
at the end.
Right. So it was more of him hiding who he was because of the whole, like, he missed the kick.
And also, I mean, all of the cops, you know, even Dan Marino starts spitting because he's like, I guess he made out with Ray Finkel. I mean, they're reacting because they were tricked. They thought it was a beautiful woman, and it turned out to be the old place kicker. I mean, that's so cut and dried and so simple to me. Why Joe Rogan would go, wow, what a transphobic movie, blows my mind. It just does. And then, I mean, his last comment on this is, it was actually a good thing. His actual comment is, all the cops are throwing up. It's off the charts, Rogan explains. Everyone is freaking out. It's so insanely transphobic. No, it's not. Unless Joe Rogan is saying, if somebody tricks you into thinking that they're the opposite gender they are, and you make out with them, when you find out, you have to say, oh, that's so cool, I was kissing a dude. Is that what we have to say?
Well, I mean, he did host Fear Factor, so.
Well, there you go.
I mean, you know, if you...
Now, Rogan says, Carrie, look up his age, please, because he's a big fat lying liar. He says, when I saw the movie, I was 10, he says. That's transphobia was not a thing. Now it's a thing. That's good. That's good news. So he's happy that transphobia is a thing.
So he's 51.
Okay, well, then he wasn't born in 1984. He was born in 1967.
1967, yeah.
Okay. So what's he talking about? He wasn't 10. How did he see the movie when he was 10? That movie, he somehow got a preview in 1977? He got a preview 17 years early? Is that what happened?
That's kind of weird.
Come on, dude. Come on, Rogan.
Kind of weird.
It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Again, a couple of things are going on here. First of all, we're judging a movie from 1994 by today's new standards. That's the first thing. Second thing, does Rogan miss the point, like I think he does, of that end scene? Or that scene near the end in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, they're not all throwing up and spitting because it turns out this is a trans person. They're all doing that because they thought they were making out with and getting with a woman.
Do you think that maybe he's confusing it with the fact that they also hint to the movie, which came out around that time, The Crying Game, where that person was a transgender person?
And that's the reason for the shower scene in Ace was because of The Crying Game.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, and they actually played the music, I believe.
Right.
The Crying Game.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just wondering if he's confusing the two, like thinking that it's the same thing, but it's really not.
I don't know. I mean, you know? He's clearly confused because the guy was, you know, in 1994, somebody who was born then was in his late 20s. He wasn't 10 like he says he was either. So who knows? I mean, does Joe Rogan do MMA? Because maybe he got hit in the head too many times. That could be.
Maybe.
I'm trying to give him a reason. I don't know. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pag.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Had a good laugh at the gym today because this came on, but it wasn't this. It was Regulators. The guy started rapping. I'm like, what the hell is that?
I don't think I've ever heard that version. You
know, oh, Polo, I'm sure you're familiar with that, right?
Absolutely.
The Regulators are somebody.
Yeah,
they,
yeah. Regulate, yeah.
Is it Regulate? Okay.
Yeah, it was by Warren G and Nate Dogg.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was. Yeah. I was like, they totally stole. I keep forgetting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They sampled it.
I was wondering if that was going to
happen. I almost started singing that in the gym today, but then I was...
I wish you would have.
That would have been pretty funny. I was like, wow. I mean, they completely sampled this.
Yeah,
and by the way, I used to have a CD in the car when I had a couple of, you know, a couple of subs in the trunk and 1,000 watts. I had something called Old School Players or Old School Bass, and that song, I believe, was on it. Yeah. I thought it was Regulators. It's called Regulate?
No, it's Regulate, but they say Regulators at the beginning because they stole that piece of audio from Young Guns, the movie.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were calling themselves Regulators. Yeah.
Sam, you remember that, right? The cars, we like the cars that go boom. Yeah.
Some of my favorite memories.
Oh, yeah. Sam and CJ in the back of the Grand National waiting for the bus out there at way too early in the morning. We had the bass pounding. Oh, yeah. Carrie, I got to get some bass in the car. I haven't had any bass in it. Sam, can you believe I don't have a car with a bunch of bass in it right now?
I cannot believe that. It's ridiculous.
Going to have to fix that. I think my cars are not ostentatious and annoying enough. I've got to add some bass.
Yes,
Carrie, bass. That'd be good, wouldn't
sure
it?
They would love it. Yes, everybody would love it.
The neighborhood would love that, I think. Mm-hmm. We got to work on some bass. Yeah. All right. A lot of people want to talk about Ace Ventura, and we'll get to you in a second. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is a great company I've been turning to for a long time. For over 5 generations and 100 years, they've been the steak experts. And they all that went into creating the Omaha Cut Ribeye, and you're going to taste the difference. Right now, Omaha Steaks has given an amazing limited time offer to my listeners. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter code PAGS in the search bar, P-A-G-S, get 71% off the limited time Omaha Cut Ribeye Cookout for $69.99. It comes with all of this. 4 the all-new triple-trimmed Omaha Cut Ribeyes, 4 Omaha Steak Burgers, 4 chicken breasts, 4 pork chops, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, caramel apple tartlets for dessert, a packet of Omaha Steak signature seasoning as well. You're going to love this. You're not going to find it anywhere else, and saving this kind of money is unheard of. This is normally $242. Again, limited time offer. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter code PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar, get 71% off the Omaha Cut Ribeye Cookout. Originally $242, $69.99, and of course, it all comes with free shipping. Get on that right now. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to... I wonder what people are going to say about this. I really don't know how they're going to react to what Joe Rogan said about this. I know he's lying about his age, by the way. Polo, you were saying that he was on news radio from 95 to 99, so he could have been 10 years old in 94.
Right.
I mean, kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It's going to be John in Kalamazoo. John, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, but... And I thought it was an R rating, but it is a PG-13 rating.
Right.
But the fact that he's sitting and watching it with his 8 and 10-year-old got made me wonder.
No, I'm with you. I mean, you know what the subject matter is. Joe Rogan obviously saw it before. Now, you don't actually see the body parts, but you can tell in the underwear what's going on. The whole subject matter of the movie, he should have known better than to have somebody 8 and 10 watching it. John, I think it's a good point. Let me go back at it and say hi to Jennifer in Oregon. Jennifer, what's going on? Hi.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Jennifer. I only got about a minute. Make it happen.
All right, so listen. What about movies like The Crying Game?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There are all kinds of movies out there. Okay, people have gotten so termy over the years, you know, what they turned all these terms to and everything.
So termy,
you know,
never
the
heard
whole
that.
Just transgender.
They're termy. Okay.
You know, that's what I like to call it.
Okay.
Termy. You know what I mean? Like the whole transgender, the just how everything got all crazy over the years.
Right.
So like so many movies would be off limits now. And, like, man, everything would be off limits. But
well,
there's so
right.
many movies. Comedians can't even be comedians anymore because people are so uptight.
Jennifer, I know how much you love the show, and we love you right back. Thank you for making it through today. She's been trying for like a week to get through. She got through. We appreciate you. Quick break here. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
4827. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, the Joe Pag Show, coming your way on a Tuesday. Yes, indeed. Crazy Train Tuesday. That is Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Had some fun talking about Ace Ventura, Pet Detective last hour. Joe Rogan completely doesn't get the point and is lying about his age. I'm just going to put it right out there. Going to help him out with that. Something about it's a transphobic movie. No, it's not. So we're done with that. We're going to move on to our girl, Robin Roberts. Robin Roberts, in the course of less than a month, has made a complete about-face when it comes to Jussie Smollett. Now, when she interviewed Jussie Smollett, for those who don't know, and you should know if you watch my show or listen to my show, Jussie Smollett is the actor. By the way, is Jussie short for Justin? Do we know?
What kind of name
is Jussie?
I don't know.
Paula, do you know?
I don't.
Is it Justin?
I don't think so.
Is it Jussie?
I think it might be a Jewish name.
Really? I know. It turns out his mother's Jewish or something, but
no, it's
how is Jussie a Jewish name?
I think it's his dad, and he's Russian.
Is it his father? I thought it was his mother.
No.
Either way, how is that a Jewish? I've known plenty of Jewish people. I've never heard Jussie. And many people say Jesse. It's not. It's J-U-S-S-I-E. All right. Well, either way, whatever. Jussie Smollett is the actor, was in the Mighty Ducks back in the day, was on the hit show Empire, playing the son, Jamal Lyons, yeah. So he's playing the role. He happens to be black, happens to be gay in real life and on the show. There were rumors that he was going to be written off the show. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no clue. Don't really care. Never watched the show. But he claimed that he was attacked by two rednecks at 2 o'clock in the morning in 11 below with the wind chill in Chicago with a rope and some bleach. And he thwarted the attack. Because I guess he has the jujitsu or something that was going for him. He just stopped them. And it turns out they were not two rednecks. Oh, it is Justin? Is that his name? Okay, short for Justin. Very good. Appreciate it. He thwarted the attack somehow. And later, it ended up that it really wasn't two rednecks with a rope and with bleach. Police say it was two friends of his. One was an extra on the show Empire. The other was his personal trainer or something. They're brothers who are also like bodybuilders who are Nigerian in nationality and background. Although I believe since then they've said they're actually American citizens. They're from here or something. There's some Nigerian connection. And they're not white. They're not rednecks. They're in fact black. There is video of them buying the rope and buying the materials used in the alleged attack. And the whole thing, according to the police, is a hoax. And he faces charges now. He's actually out on bail or bond right now. He's been written off the show for the last two episodes of this season. Before it came out that the whole thing was a hoax, we were skeptical. I was skeptical from day one and told you guys why I was skeptical. As a journalist, these are the questions you ask, and you try to put two and two together, and if it equals 17, then you're like, well, something's wrong with the math. before it came out and the police said he's no longer being looked at as a victim, looked at as a suspect. Before that, Robin Roberts from ABC's Good Morning America sat down with him, did an interview with him. The interview was softball laden. He fake cried in the interview. And she basically told the viewers, you should listen to what he says and he should be believed. Then Michael Strahan, whose journalistic abilities are that he was a defensive back in the NFL, said, seems very credible, very credible. Boy, what a story. And that's sort of where we were left until, of course, a few days later, the whole lid blows off the thing. Robin Roberts says nothing about it. Good Morning America says nothing about it. Now she's speaking out, Carrie. Now she's actually saying, going in, I wasn't so sure.
That's
correct. Sure I was going to do it to begin with. Now, if you can, give us that story where Robin Roberts now is. And remember, we actually saw her telling us and imploring us to believe the guy. But now we're supposed to believe this. Go ahead.
From USA Today, Robin Roberts is revealing just how challenging she found last month's interview with Jussie Smollett. The Good Morning America anchor spoke candidly about her tearful February the 14th interview with the Empire actor during a Monday event sponsored by The Cut, according to The Hollywood Reporter and Page Six. In the emotional interview, Smollett, 36, recounted his alleged January 29th attack, which police now believe was a hoax intended to promote his career. Roberts reportedly said she was initially hesitant about talking with Smollett. I'll be completely honest, I said I don't know if I'm going to do the interview or not, Roberts reportedly recalled. A THR quoted Roberts as saying her commitment to the interview hinged on whether Smollett would reveal new information. If there wasn't going to be anything new, I didn't really want to do it, she shared. In negotiations with Smollett's team, it was agreed she could question him about details that were seen by some as red flags, and he agreed to provide new details. Roberts said she based her participation on the interview's news value, eventually deciding he's going on the record for the first time. Yes, I'll do the interview. And she also took optics into account, realizing she was in a no-win situation as a gay black woman interviewing a gay black man. Roberts worried that if she were too hard on Smollett, who is presenting himself as the victim of a hate crime, people in the LGBTQ community might suspect she didn't believe him. On the other hand, she said, if I'm too light on him, then it's like, oh, because you're in the community, you're giving him a pass. As she reportedly added, I pride myself on being fair. I know how much work went into being balanced to challenge him on certain things. Had she been aware of details uncovered by the police, like the brothers claiming they were paid to stage the attack, Roberts said she would have asked about them. After Smollett was arrested last month, Roberts reacted to the news on her show. It's a setback for race relations, homophobia, MAGA supporters. The fingers were pointed at them, she said at the time. I cannot think of another case where there's this anger on so many sides, and you can understand why there would be.
Carrie, I don't know that I've ever revealed this on the show before, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not sure. I don't think so. We can go back and check the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But I have won a lot of awards for journalism.
Many awards. Yes.
What do you mean? I have talked about it?
A couple of times.
I mean, dozens of awards.
We got it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How many of those awards, either from the Associated Press or Michigan, Association of Broadcasters, how many awards do you think talked about my sexual orientation?
I'm going to say none of them.
So you don't think I won Best Documentary Done by a Straight Man?
No. I don't think there's really? Such a category. No.
You're kidding me, right?
No, not.
Well, let me ask you something. As a journalist, from what I understand, you're straight. You've got the husband and the kids.
Yes.
Or could be a front. I don't know. Who I'm not asking. I'm just saying. When you do your job every day, you do dozens of newscasts a day. You do dozens of stories. You read a bunch of stories for me.
Mm-hmm.
Does your orientation play a role whatsoever
in
what it is you're dealing with when you're delivering the news?
Not at all.
When you go to interview somebody, do you think to yourself, I wonder if they're into dudes or chicks? And that's going to matter as to whether I do this interview or not.
No, not at all.
So why would Robin Roberts have to consider her orientation or her, I don't know, being a member of some alphabet community, LGBTQXY? What does that matter?
Well, because like she said, it's the optics of it. So she's going to get hate. It really was a no-win situation for her. She feels like she's being too hard on
him.
Do
you agree with her? Then,
no. I'm just saying, I understand where she's coming from, though. If she's too hard on this guy, then the LGBTQ community is going to come down on her. If she's not, then all the other groups are going to come down on her.
Can I be honest? I didn't know Robin Roberts was gay until she did the interview with then-President Obama, who did a flip-flop from saying he believed that marriage was a man and a woman to gay people should get married. That's when I think she first, I mean, maybe she publicly talked about it before, but I've been a fan of Robin Roberts and her work for a long time. I prayed for her when she was dealing with, I believe she had cancer. I don't know what it is that makes people, other than straight, have to constantly tell us that they're other than straight. because I got to be honest with you, I just don't give a damn. Not trying to get in her bedroom. So I don't care. Do the job the best way you can. Now, I don't believe what she said to Page Six and whoever else. And we'll take your calls on this. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I don't believe her that there was trepidation. I don't believe her that she weighed all of these options going in. Because the pieces of the interview, I didn't watch the whole interview. The pieces of the interviews I saw, she was absolutely sympathetic to the guy. Instead of just interviewing him, she was sympathetic to the guy. And at the end, and during or even before, you know, things suggested like he should be believed. He should, victims should be believed. Even calling him a victim before there's some indication that, in fact, he is a victim is already unjournalistic. And then you got Strahan jumping in and Stephanopoulos shaking his head like, oh, man, crazy story. Strahan's like, oh, yeah, very credible. Comes off as very credible. The whole thing seems set up to me. So this idea that later she's going to let us into some inside baseball, I really have some trepidation. I was really worried about going into this interview and doing the interview. Nobody cares about your orientation. Nobody. What we care about is, do you entertain us in the morning? Do you give us the news and the weather that we need before we head out to for our day? And am I getting really good journalism when you say, this is an interview that I did? Here's a story that I did. Again, this whole leaning back on, well, I had to be careful because it would be like me interviewing an Italian guy saying, well, I had to be careful how I worded it because I didn't want to say rigatoni because I didn't want the Italian-American club to come down on me. That's stupid. Just do the damn job. I don't know why it's so hard. Robin Roberts can do the job. She went and interviewed him because she believed him. She wanted to believe him and she wanted to help his story. That's a fact. Or else she would not have. I don't remember ever coming out of a news story as a news anchor or a news reporter before tossing it to break saying, wow, that person should really be believed. We'll be back after this. I've never done that. I never would do that because it's not journalism. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, are you with me on this, or am I being, I'm probably being harder than you'll be on her?
No, I don't think so, but and I was also thinking that, you know, the way journalism is today, it can't surprise you, especially on ABC and George Stephanopoulos, that they're gonna give their opinion on this, even though they're supposed to be journalists, but they're really not doing the job.
What's surprising me, well, Stephanopoulos was, you know, is a Clintonite. He's a guy who was in there with the Clintons and trying to stop the bimbo eruptions and everything else. George Stephanopoulos should not be believed as far as he could be thrown, which is probably pretty far. He's a skinny guy, kind of like a waif. But having said that, George Stephanopoulos, I already discount him when it comes to journalism. Michael Strahan, I'm going to discount him. He's not a journalist. He's a football player and a good entertainer, good host, whatever.
Yeah.
Robin Roberts is a guy, is a lady that I know can do the job. She's the person on that staff that can do the job, do it well, and has. I believe she's won awards. I believe that I've seen some of the greatest stories ever done by Robin Roberts. But going into this, has she just done a very right down the middle, here are the questions, here are your answers, what really happened, boom, boom, boom. I'm okay with her making this excuse today that there was trepidation. My problem is she basically told us, if you don't believe him, then you're a something-a-phobe or you're a something-ist. And then when it came out that he shouldn't be believed to begin with, she gives us this, you know, dog and pony show about how, oh, I almost didn't do it. We had to do negotiations. I don't believe it. I'm just here to tell you I don't believe it. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Your thoughts on Robin Roberts now trying to save face after basically saying, believe Jussie Smollett, and then her co-host there on GMA saying basically the same thing. Now she had to think of this and had to think of the community, had to think of the other thing. Somebody made a smart comment over on my Twitter, which is at Joe Talk Show, at JoeTalkShow. It shouldn't matter. If she does the job right, shouldn't matter what people say. That's true. I don't care if the LGBTQXYZ123 community liked it, didn't like it, cared for it, thought that she was being too hard, too soft, too in the middle. Doesn't matter. There is a job to do. And the fact that she considered what this community or that community or these people or those people thought about the job she was going to do tells me she's no longer somebody who should be looked at as credible. Because there's way too much consideration going in before she does the job. That's not what you're supposed to do. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. To the phone lines, line one's going to be Daniel in San Antonio. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, Joe, first time caller.
Great, man. Good to hear from you. What's happening?
Good for you. Hey, yeah, I think she's just saving face. And when did journalism just fall apart like that, where they're not seeking the truth? They're just, out there to just put a story out. That's insane to me.
It's a recent phenomenon, Daniel. I mean, this isn't the way it used to be. It used to be that I would go to a newsroom, and Carrie can probably verify this too, and we would have no clue what your politics were because the job was to just go and cover the story.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that more now that you that our current president's in office, that it just leans more that way now?
No, it's always leaned that way, I mean, to an extent. But again, on the local level, generally speaking, it would be down the middle. But it always had a bit of a lefty spin. With this president, I think that he has absolutely exposed how far left the big media is. Yeah, it has gotten worse, but it's always been a little bit like this.
I absolutely agree with that. He exposed it to an extent to where now people are really starting to see.
Right.
Like me, it opened my eyes up to a lot more. I don't even pay attention to the news anymore. So it's hard to trust these people, and that's all she's doing is just kind of saving face because it's going to fall apart. It's going to come out. And I work in law enforcement, and we rely on this thing called truth. You know what I mean? So that's when the truth comes out. You know, then everybody tries to run for cover, and they start selling people out.
Well, it's interesting that you said that. First of all, thanks for being in law enforcement. I appreciate you guys. You know that. But also keep in mind that truth is really in the eye of the beholder for the left in this country. They will spin it so hard, Daniel, that they want you and I to believe their truth, whether it really does, you know, have veracity or not. You and I believe in the actual truth. That's the difference.
Absolutely. So it's a tough thing to watch and to put up with every day.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I don't know how you do it.
Daniel, listen, I don't know how you do it. I appreciate you, brother. Man, call back again. We appreciate that you got through this time. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Going to be Eric in Minnesota. Eric, what's going on? Hi.
Good evening, Joe.
Hi.
I was just going to say it should be the facts that the journalists go after no matter what anybody says.
Yeah.
I thought that's what journalism was, wasn't it? How are these people going to, how are they going to look at me if I report it this way?
Right.
It should be the facts.
No, you never ever are supposed to think, thanks, Eric, I appreciate you. You're never ever supposed to consider what somebody consuming the news is going to think, unless you do a bad job. Now, if you're just not very good at it, and it's a sucky story, and is put together badly, and you sound bad, and you present it badly, well, that you should be judged on. But don't tell me what you're worried about some special interest group thinking this, that, or the other. You can never do your job if you're worried about the special interest group, because somebody, if you're doing an investigative journalistic piece anyway, somebody's going to be mad at you. Somebody's going to think you did a bad job. Somebody's going to think that you misrepresented something. So you've got to go in, get all the information you can, and completely avoid, you know, worrying about what a thought process might be of somebody involved. I mean, seriously, or else you'd never expose corruption because you'd be worried about the corruptors, you know, being mad at you. You'd never want to go and cover the fire or who's alleged to have set the fire because, well, whose family member might think that, how dare you say that it's alleged by the fire? No, you just go there and do it. That's it. You just go there and do it. Just get it done. Let me go to Laura in Austin. Laura, what's going on? We've got about a minute.
Okay, Joe, real quick, the morning that everything came out about Jesse on Good Morning America, the first thing Robin said was, Jesse's a really good friend of mine. We know his family really well, and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Well, there you
and
go.
From the very beginning, that was the first morning that Jesse was even, they broadcasted anything, and she was on the defense. And really, I get really tired of all this discrimination stuff going on.
Yeah.
But when she said that morning, I thought I could read right through her. And they were going to find that, you know, it was all about Trump and because of Trump. And it was just such negative. And then she came on and interviewed him. And I think what they got back was something she wasn't expecting. But from the very beginning, she claimed he was a good friend of hers.
Yeah, well, and you know, so Laura,
I think someone has to research.
Well, I think that you probably, at that point should have said, well, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt. I mean, they're friends. It's got to be a complimentary piece. And it turned out to be a complimentary piece. Let him cry. She was sympathetic to him. She was empathetic to him. At the set afterwards, boy, what a story. He's certainly credible. You know, at some point, just do the job or admit that you're now a commentator and you're an editorialist. You're not a journalist. When we come back, Hogan Gidley. He's the principal deputy press secretary for the White House. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pag.
Pag.com.
Your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Across the Land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back. The you're the deputy press secretary. Are there other titles that I'm missing, Hogan?
I'm the principal deputy press secretary and deputy assistant to the president.
Bam.
We have a lot of titles here.
All of that and then some. I want to see that business card. It's Hogan Gidley. Hogan, I always appreciate...
You have to staple two together.
Well, good. And I think you deserve that. You do that good a job. We were just talking before we hit the air here, and it's kind of a quandary to me, and I'm just a regular American just trying to get the job done. But since the 1970s, Congress gave the president of the United States the ability, the right, the wherewithal to say... This is an emergency. I declare it so. Let's now put some funding towards it and fix this emergency problem. Every other president seemed to have the right. Did something change when Donald J. Trump took the oath to where the president no longer has that right, or did I miss something?
Well, that's what changed. The problems all got worse, and Donald Trump is now in the White House. Otherwise, right. They voted for these things in the past. They supported this type of conversation for border security and national emergencies in the past. But because it's Donald Trump, they don't want anything to do with it. And, I mean, let's be honest, Democrats supported national emergencies to protect other nations, but they don't want one to protect this one. And that's kind of a telling bit of information. But,
right.
You know, one of the things that happened today was the new numbers were released by the Department of Homeland Security of people coming into this country illegally. And I'm going to tell you, it has exploded compared to the last count at the same time last year. So Border Patrol, for example, apprehended about 268,000 individuals crossing since the beginning of the fiscal year. That's
right.
A 97% increase.
Wow.
Over the same time in the previous year. And just to give you one stat that I think will hit home for at least one of your stations there in the Texas area.
Yeah.
The new data from DHS shows that 76,000 illegal aliens arrived at the southern border in just the month of February.
Holy
okay?
mackerel.
Now, that is the amount of people that sit down, just about anyway, that sit down on Sundays in Dallas to watch the Cowboys and the NRC in Houston to watch the Texans.
Isn't that something?
So that many people showed up at our border in 1 month. And you tell me that's not a problem, I don't know what is.
Well, and Hogan, you're absolutely right. But what bothers me is, and I've had Republicans on my show even, who are saying, well, but it's not an emergency. And I don't really know how you define an emergency. I looked at the list of what Obama declared emergencies, and many of them weren't even here in the country. So I'm not really sure. If we can't tidy up what's happening on our border, if that's not an emergency, what is? But here's the angle that they're taking, and I want your thoughts on this. They're saying, yeah, but it's unconstitutional. It's not really about whether he should be able to declare an emergency. I'm going to go back to Carter. He should never have had the ability. And they're actually trying to say retroactively, let's just take this ability away from the president at all, and we really screwed up by allowing it to happen for 40 or 50 years.
Well, it's that, but it's, I think it's even more insidious. And the way I describe it is how I just talked to you, in the sense that here are the statistical data. Look how horrible it's gotten.
Yeah.
Look at the increase in asylum claims, 1,700%, because they know the magic word of asylum gets them in this country
right.
for catch and release.
Right.
They know that. And when you bring those things up, they say, well, yeah, but he didn't have the right to call a national emergency. Well, that's not what I said. What I said was there's a crisis at the border.
Right.
Well, yeah, but the emergency, he shouldn't be able to call an emergency. Okay, we can quibble over that all day. The president
right.
was very clear this would happen. He would call a national emergency. The Democrats would freak out. They'd file injunctions. They'd take him to court. They'd do all the things they're doing because they're so predictable. And they won't address the actual crisis. You know, you saw Ocasio-Cortez, for example, come out and say if an illegal immigrant tries to purchase a gun, no one should know about that. But every American citizen who tries to purchase one, now that should be a big problem.
It's just nuts.
So the inconsistencies are rife on the Democrat side, and they know now at this point that what we're dealing with as it relates to their agenda of making America a socialist nation, of killing babies after they're born, open borders. They know that's not selling. A Green Deal that gets rid of airplanes and cars
and cows.
And ships and cows
yeah, right.
In the next 2 years
right.
and gives people full benefits, a vacation and a salary
right.
if you're not willing to work. They know that's not selling.
Right.
So now they've got to go back to the drawing board and try to come up with ways to attack this president. That's what they're doing, and this is a perfect example of that. They want to make it appear as though he doesn't have the constitutional right to do this. He does.
He's the White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary and several other titles, including working very closely with the president of the United States, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, you're right, and I can make another example that you probably have thought about. If you sneak across the border in Laredo, and drop a baby on this side of the border, that baby gets every single right you and I have. Period, end of story. You're not allowed to question it. If a baby is born of a botched abortion and is alive, that baby has no rights, cannot get medical care, and you can't even compel somebody who's taken the Hippocratic Oath to give medical care. What world do we live in? I'm confused.
That is an incredible point. And had they not said this out loud and not voted to protect a baby that was born alive, I wouldn't believe it. Yep. There's no way that this could be uttered and people think this is the reality of the Democrat Party. But that's where it is now. And people have to understand this is so much stranger than fiction at this point with what they are trying to push onto the American people. You know, as I was looking at some of the things that Sarah Sanders had said as related to Chairman Nadler and his ridiculous attacks on the president and on the American people, quite frankly, we were talking about some of the things that he had done, and we talked about infanticide. We talked about, obviously, the Green New Deal. We talked about America being a socialist country. And then we said, and they also want to raise taxes. And we all kind of looked around the room like, you know, that doesn't even seem like a bad thing compared to these ridiculous things they're offering
now. That's true, right?
Raising taxes is bad enough. I mean, you're ruining the economy. Everyone, you know, record low unemployment, record high wages for the lowest income Americans. All those things, it would be horrible to raise taxes.
Right.
But when you compare it to killing babies after they're born and completely destroying the American economy by getting rid of every single fossil fuel, I mean, changing the tax code doesn't seem like as much of a problem, and it would be devastating for this country.
It would be. It's Hogan Gidley, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary. The president spoke for a couple hours at CPAC the other day, really in his element, knocked it out of the park. He focused a little bit of time, and now he's talking about, you know, an executive order. I don't even know if it's been done yet, but to where if you're a taxpayer-funded university or a college, you have to allow free speech. Now, I don't know how we got here in America to where we have to legislate free speech. I thought that it was already in there. But I think that was an incredibly bold move. How is that going to be received by the other side? What is the fight going to be on that? Because he's 100% right. When you give a little tiny space, a little square somewhere off in the corner and say, you can be free speech zone over here, that's not getting the job done. When you're getting punched in the face for holding a sign, you know, on UC Berkeley's campus, you know, maybe it is time for an executive order. What's going to happen with that? And can you believe it's necessary?
I'm not sure what's going to happen with it, obviously, but I cannot believe it's necessary. I remember when our colleges and universities were bastions of free speech.
Right.
That was the place where you could speak freely because it was young minds expressing themselves with the protection of the constitutional right to free speech, and that has completely changed. And as you know, the only prediction I can make is the one of the reaction to the left, which is what they've already done. They love free speech as long as it's speech that agrees with them.
Right.
If it's antithetical to what they want, or if it's rational or logical, then they think that's incorrect speech or hate speech or whatever it may be. So I think the president made a bold move there.
He did.
And that's interesting. I mean, the federal government spends billions of dollars to these universities. That's what the president said. We're giving them billions of dollars, but they're not treating everybody equally and allowing and upholding, rather, our constitutional right to free speech. That's an issue, and the president's looking at it and making some changes there.
And I love his angle. Either fix it or you lose the money. It is Hogan Gidley. Hogan, one last question. The president and Kim Jong-un the other day separated without a deal. It was reminiscent to me of Reagan walking away from Gorbachev at Reykjavik. And of course, the other side of the aisle said, well, Kim Jong-un out-negotiated him and he couldn't get a deal done. Look, it was a fruitless meeting. I don't find it to be fruitless at all, but I'm a fan of the president. What are the logistics of what happened? Why did the meeting end early? And what happens next? And are we still on good terms?
Well, it didn't end early. That was kind of a misnomer. They decided instead of pausing for lunch that they would work through lunch.
Okay.
So they were making progress, so they decided to work through lunch. So the media narrative there was just completely ridiculous.
Okay.
But one of the things I find interesting, had he signed the deal, Democrats would say, oh my gosh, the president didn't get anything in return.
Exactly.
He signed something about one nuclear facility that had been promised and given to other presidents. This is no big deal. The president doesn't know how to negotiate.
You're
all
right.
Of those things. Instead, the president looked at the offer and said, listen, thanks for the time, but we're not going to do this. We want substantial denuclearization. We want it to be verifiable and irreversible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to walk away from the table. And the Democrats say, oh my gosh, he can't negotiate. He didn't get a deal right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win for losing with Democrats. So let's just throw them aside. Let's talk about what actually happened. Okay. And that is the president went over there and he said, listen, we need to make the world a safer place. North Korea has a lot of potential economically. We can help with that. But if we're going to help, we're going to need denuclearization. It makes America a safer place. It makes our partners and allies breathe a little easier around the globe. And then, quite frankly, it protects the entire world. And they didn't come back to the table with something the president was willing to sign because it didn't do the things he wanted done. Right. Now, granted, we've already gotten a lot on the front end here.
Agreed.
with the remains coming back and no nuclear testing. Those types of things are important to the president. And we didn't give up anything for it. We didn't give away $1.5 billion in cash.
Right.
And we didn't release five terrorists like Barack Obama did. And we sure didn't fund the largest state sponsor of terror in Iran.
Yeah.
Instead, we're getting something here for nothing. And the president said, all right, now's the time to make the deal. And the deal wasn't on the table that he wanted, so he didn't take it.
Smart
that
sounds
move, logical
then.
And rational to me.
Well, obviously it was a smart move. And I love that you dispelled the fake news. Even I, who is skeptical with the big media, I believe that they ended it early. I'm glad that we now know the truth, that they didn't end it early. They just didn't have lunch. They worked through it. Thank you for correcting that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's our job,
there's
right?
There's a chance to get it wrong. They'll get it wrong. I promise you that.
Accidentally, right? It's Hogan Gidley, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary. Hogan, it's always an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
To last a lifetime.
I want. I need.
You need to know what's going on.
It's the information you want. It's the information you need. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Really wonderful to have Hogan Gidley on. Your thoughts about what we talked about. Kara, did you know that the media reporting about this thing ending early was incorrect?
I did not know that.
It turns out they just worked through lunch and decided not to have lunch, but the meeting was not cut short. But the way the media put it out there, the big media, the legacy media put it out there, it ended early and Trump walked away and they didn't have a deal and Kim was a better negotiator or some crap. And it turns out, according to the White House, it's just not the case. It's always nice to find out a week later. But there you go. Also, thoughts about many on the left and even some on the right saying, wow, this is unconstitutional to give the president the ability to declare it a disaster or emergency. Been happening for 40-plus years. But suddenly now, with this president in place, it's not okay. And we shouldn't be doing it. And there are people from both. Rand Paul is against it. We had Will Hurd on last week. He's against it. So the whole thing is nutty to me. Your thoughts on what you heard? And also about the free speech on college campuses. Why do we have to have an executive order that says, yes, the Constitution matters on college campuses? I don't get it. It's kind of weird. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Definitely want to hear from you after that conversation. Let me tell you about Super Beats. Super Beats, you get up in the morning, hit some Super Beats, just a teaspoon and a glass of water, and then go to the gym. I've got that extra boost of energy. The nitric oxide levels, I know, are being boosted naturally because of the help of this great superfood from human called Super Beats. Super Beats is a product that's going to help you produce that very special miracle molecule, nitric oxide. I mention it because this is the molecule that helps you regulate your blood flow, your circulation, your blood pressure. Your cardiovascular system is greatly helped by this, and I count on it. In the morning, get up and I have some. And I want you to try it as well. This month especially is National Nutrition Month, so why not get your nutrition back on point? And starting with Super Beats is the right way to go. Super Beats is offering you a great special right now because you listen to my program. You can try it risk-free for 90 days. Just go to joelovesbeats.com to get the special offer. You're even going to get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats for the first order at joelovesbeats.com. Free nitric oxide indicator strips too at joelovesbeats.com or 1-800-516-8389. Do it now, joelovesbeats.com. Get there. Let me go to the phone lines, and I appreciate you taking the time. You know, we've got a lot going on, and getting with the White House. Gary, I just think it's cool to get with the White House.
Yeah, sure is, isn't it?
You know, you answer the phone, Hogan Gidley says, hey, it's Hogan Gidley from the White House.
That's
and today
cool.
I was like, well, how's the White House today? He's like, well, it's fine. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
White House is good. I'm like, you know, it's just nice to have that direct connection. And for 8 years, we didn't. You know, I was more than willing to talk to anybody from the Obama administration anytime they wanted to come on. None of them would come on. And we asked them all the time. They just wouldn't come on. And you might be saying, well, you know, it's just like Trump is going to go on with some lefty talk shows. I don't know that. I've seen him on NBC, CNN, MSNBC. I've seen him all over the place. I have not seen him shy away from the invitations from these other outlets. But the Obama administration was very, very careful with the message. And they simply just wouldn't come on and talk about what was going on. By the way, next hour, it's going to be Nico LaHood. Nico was the DA in Bexar County, Texas. He was defeated by a guy I'd never even heard of because George Soros injected about $1 million into the campaign. And from what I understand, they're hiring on some assistant DAs that are very, very left-leaning, very liberal. This is a guy who ran for the DA position saying he didn't want to prosecute prostitutes. It just, the whole thing is very strange how Soros went after district attorney's offices. Well, Nico is still a lawyer. He's a very good one, and he's in private practice now. We talk about Michael Cohen and the whole attorney-client privilege. I always thought that there was a law protecting the attorney-client privilege. I guess there's not a law. There is a legal means by which you can protect what you say to your lawyer, what the lawyer says back, by claiming attorney-client privilege. But if you break that bond, that trust that you have, is there a legal issue? Well, I guess there isn't. There is not a criminal issue anyway. You can legally, however, go after the attorney. And I wonder if the president will go after Michael Cohen for having, A, pretended he's telling people what they actually said. The president denies a lot of what Cohen is saying. And B, you know, it's completely unethical. But then you think about it this way, Kerry, and Michael Cohen being unethical, it's sort of like they're synonyms. I mean, at this point, he's not even a lawyer anymore. He got disbarred because of this entire thing. He's admitted to crimes. He's going to prison. He is now violating the attorney-client privilege. So that makes him unethical, and you lose the ability to practice law. So I talked to Nico about that, but we also talk about vaccinating and vaccinations. He's a guy who has been labeled an anti-vaxxer, and he's not. He's just the guy who wants to make sure that we have the knowledge we need to have before we get our kids vaccinated. And it's going to startle you to find out how little we know about what's in these vaccines. So we talk about that as well. I mean, it's going to be a hard shift from Michael Cohen to vaccinations, but I think it's a conversation that you're going to want to stick around for. That's the bottom of next hour. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Go there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Sign up for all of them and send me a message on Facebook. You get those daily messages as well. We got to go on TV. We can come right back on radio. We're back on TV tomorrow. Stay here.
Joe Pag.
You too today.
Now, live from the WI Studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed is at the website. The Joe Pag Show. I've got to pause here for a second because I can't not give the people what they want, Kerry. And we actually did this, that we had this discussion. A discussion, it was very serious. And if the people didn't want it anymore, they weren't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, they wanted it.
I know.
And I aim to please.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Exactly right. Come on now.
Tacos, my radio.
Exactly right.
A little salsa, I'm ready to go.
Uh-huh.
No enchilada, no cheesy nacho. Taco Tuesday, the Joe Pag Show.
It's funny, the Polo's feed just died before we got to Taco Tuesday. That's interesting, isn't it? A little bit odd how that worked out. Let's go.
Try them.
Now me and Polo, we like the hot sauce.
Uh-huh.
Joe La Teresa. Cause he's the
That's
boss.
Me.
No,
that's her.
No,
all day.
No.
She's full of corn, tart, beans, and beans.
That's right.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show. It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show. I'm eating tacos with Polo.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco.
Taco
Tuesday.
Taco.
Taco
Tuesday.
Taco.
Come on, Polo, make it happen. Hold it together if you can. I've been watching the feed, and it's not looking good. What's up?
Taco.
No, oh, no, come on. Yeah, put your heart and soul into it. What was that?
Taco.
That was probably better. That was better. Not as good as this, so you got to work on it.
Taco.
Exactly right.
No, that was bad.
Carrie, that was horrible. Can I how white was that?
I'm sorry.
Taco.
So don't Taco. Play it anymore.
I'm gonna keep on playing it. I can't not play it. You should try harder.
No,
you'll get it, buddy.
Exactly right. You will get it, buddy. All right, it is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We have to bring that to you on Tuesday. Some guy stationed overseas or something wrote me the other day, please, I beg you, don't stop Taco Tuesday.
Oh,
what am I supposed to tell the enlisted man? We're going to stop playing it because Carrie doesn't like it?
No, you got to play it. You got to play it for those guys and gals.
Come on, dude.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know.
It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. A couple of stories that I want to make sure that we get to. Now, we talked about Jussie Smollett a lot because the big, fat, lying liar. We were skeptical from day one. We were right, it seems. But the preponderance of fake hate crimes or hate crime hoaxes during the Trump elected period, since the November election in 2016, right through the time, he's been in office now a couple of years. I mean, it's nuts. It's over the top. Now, this one, though, Carrie, I don't know. Is this woman saying it was a hate crime? And she just made a mistake, or she knew that it wasn't a hate crime and said it anyway?
I believe that she believed she was a victim of a hate crime. And police said,
turns out not so much.
Yeah.
Hey, let the people know. We have to fill them in.
From the Daily Caller, Darnell Byrd McPherson, the mayor of Lamar, South Carolina, believes she was victimized by a racist hate crime earlier this month when she found her and her husband's cars covered in a yellow, sticky substance. However, local authorities in the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division have since confirmed there was no crime committed, determining the yellow, sticky substance to be pollen. Nonetheless, McPherson feels she was victimized for the color of her skin, perhaps by flowers and bees. My husband went out to the car to get some things out of the garage. The volunteer mayor recalled to Newsweek. He says, somebody's painted your car. And they started rubbing it. McPherson continued, and it was this yellow, sticky substance. It was like, what is this? It looked like little pebbles. And to McPherson, this was a clear hate crime due to the history of the town. I liken it as a hate crime because, number one, there's a history in our town of Lamar, she said. It ignited some fear in my spirit. My God, who would do that? She asked, adding, it was something. It was just unnerving to me. As noted by Newsweek, McPherson clarified there were no words or symbols drawn on the cars, and the cars were parked in the street near the end of the couple's driveway, a block and a half from Lamar's downtown. McPherson had both cars pressure washed twice the day after the incident. And the substance wasn't saved. The cars were actually cleaned, pressure washed twice. There was no substance, and so they didn't have it for the investigation, said the mayor. A Darlington County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Robbie Kilgo told Newsweek his team found the substance to be pollen and that there was no reason for us to collect a sample. Now, the report that was taken included details of an examination by two sheriff's officials. Immediately came to the conclusion the substance had a yellowish tint to it and that it's a type of powder similar to pollen, reports Newsweek. And the local authorities found no evidence to support McPherson's suspicions of a hate crime upon the mayor's assistance. She was victimized. SLED got involved in the case. The agency quickly came to the same conclusion as local authorities and failed to even open an investigation. We reviewed the incident report, but we did not open a formal investigation because they did not believe a crime occurred, said a spokeswoman for SLED. McPherson claims that local law enforcement told her there's rumors out there they're going to assassinate you. That's a federal crime, said the mayor. What do we do? What do we need to do in Lamar? I say we need to come together, McPherson said.
What?
There should be something else, but there's always these remnants of racism. I don't care about a car, she added. What I want is my life.
What? If the town is so racist, why is the mayor black? Is that a dumb question? Or
no.
An appropriate question.
It's not dumb.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to be that guy, but I guess I will be a bit. Tell what you're talking about. What the hell are you talking about?
Make any sense?
Because it was pollen, and they washed the car, and the pollen came off. But is her allegation that the police refused to collect the pollen to make sure it was pollen? Because it was, in fact, a hate crime?
Maybe.
How does the hate crime perpetrator spread a bunch of pollen on her car? How does that even happen?
I'm not quite sure.
I'll tell you what I'll do with that mayor. Bring some flowers over there and shake them all over that car.
What?
Come on, dude. Come on, man.
I don't get that.
And this is clearly somebody who doesn't understand that it legitimately hurts the victims of hate crimes to keep on saying something's a hate crime if there's absolutely no proof for it. And what about the poor bee families? The bees are being accused of something here.
Absolutely.
That they clearly didn't do.
Yeah.
So can I just admit, I'm going to lean back a second. Can I just admit something, Carrie?
Oh, please, yes.
I don't think Sarah Palin's my friend anymore.
Why?
She had the Spurs game the other day. I got no notification.
Well, were you really friends before?
Absolutely. Did you see our interview?
It's
as if we've known each other.
But
hello,
were
Sarah
you
Palin
friends?
Chased me down for an entire day. She chased me down from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
With her Dude. Fake Facebook page and everything else.
Dude.
She goes and she's at the Spurs game.
I saw that.
Pack. Did you get a call?
I guess
not. Do I get
not,
a text?
Huh?
Hey, let's go grab a Whataburger?
No.
Do I get anything?
No. No.
Did I?
No. I'm going to say no.
The hell is that?
Because you aren't her friend.
I thought we
you
were good.
You interviewed her, but that does
Let
not
Let me ask you something. Have you ever
buds.
Talked to Sarah Palin? Have you ever talked
no,
to her?
No, I have not.
Do you have her phone number?
No.
Have you FaceTimed with her?
No, I have not.
So you are the definition of not a friend. I clearly, because I have all those things.
So. You still think
By
you
definition, I believe I'm a friend. Sam, I'm I am a friend
anymore.
Of Sarah Palin, no?
Yes, you definitely are.
Well, how the hell did I not get a phone call? She's
you
in my
have.
Town. Now, you weren't at that game, were you? No, you went over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
And she's sitting right behind Pop. You had to wonder how that went over.
I did think about that.
I just can't believe you didn't get a text message.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Sam. I didn't get a text message because Sarah Palin is done with me. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay?
She doesn't like you,
Oh, we had to get a hold of Pags. We had to get a hold of Pags. Had to go to the Pags show. And now she's in my town. Really, Governor? I thought we were good.
You do know she probably gives, you know, dozens and dozens of interviews every week. You were just
I didn't need to interview her. I could have watched the game with her. We could have been like Ghost Spurs Go. I didn't have to interview her.
No, I'm going to say no on that one. No, I need to give that
Let
up.
Let me ask you this. Do you think all the people that interview her have her phone number? Do you think they do? I don't think so, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you. I could FaceTime Sarah okay. Palin right now if I wanted to. And had I known she was at the game, I'd have FaceTimed her during the show last night.
Yeah.
See, that would have been neat. I could have, because the game was on during the show last night.
You know she's probably still around here, right?
Why don't you give her a call?
She probably is. And you know what she's doing, Polo? She's ignoring
give
me.
A call. Okay?
Well, the rumor is that her daughter's living in Austin.
Well, that's not the rumor. Her daughter does live in Austin.
Yeah.
Bristol.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that long a trip. That's true.
Right.
But again, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if
I have all sorts of access to Sarah Palin when she's in Alaska. I mean, what does that tell me?
She doesn't want to talk to you or see you or be seen with you?
Hey, Carrie, don't be rude. Let's not be
okay,
rude.
Okay, I'm just, you know, we'll be jumping to some conclusions. But there's
a rumor that she's not so happy with the girl on the show, and that might be the issue.
Really? Like, yes. I'm sure she knows about the girl on your show.
That's right. Yeah. 888, that Carol is just out of control. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Simple question. Do hate crime hoaxes, or I guess this woman really, truly in her soul still believes it was hate crime. Is this helping or hurting? That's kind of a rhetorical dumb question. And the second question has to be, I have her number. We've FaceTimed before. She's been on the show. Aren't Sarah Palin and I friends?
No.
You know what's going to happen? Because we're on in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's in San Antonio or she's in Austin, somebody, her friends in Anchorage are going to be saying, Joe Pags is talking about you. He's mad you didn't contact him yesterday.
Yeah.
And now she's going to block my number.
Yeah, probably.
That's what's
going to
happen. I am completely on the outs.
Yeah, with Sarah Palin.
We could have sat there. Yeah, go Spurs, go. I could have been there.
No, you couldn't have.
And Pop would have loved to see me sitting behind the bench.
You think so?
That would have made his day.
Kicked you out.
Somebody actually asked him. Somebody said, did you notice Sarah Palin sitting behind you? And his answer was, I don't normally scan the crowd when I'm coaching.
Good
so there
answer.
You go. There's your answer. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
It's to me.
Like it's been brought in. No?
Not really.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Want to hear from you this. I guess the thing that bothers me the most about this mayor's story, what is it, in Lamar? The mayor of Lamar, what bothers me the most is that she's still the mayor. And somebody who could be that confused about what is or what isn't a hate crime, unless she's convinced that the insects and the trees and the flowers are racist.
Racist trees!
I think that'd be crazy.
Mm.
I think that she probably should not be the mayor. It's going to put it right out there. But there she is. And I would love for the story to have had this ending, Carrie, and it didn't. Listen to the whole story you read.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for the ending to have been, well, that's a relief. It was just pollen. Nobody really is racist and out to get me.
No.
That was not in the story, right?
No, it was not.
So I just checked my text message real quick. I just want to see if Sarah wrote me back. I sent her a text.
Oh, did you know?
Hey, Governor, I see you were in my town last night. Love to say hello. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not like I did something wrong. That interview rocked. That interview was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was
what,
really,
Polo?
I'm,
what?
I'm hoping that she sends you a text that says, new phone, who dis?
I don't even think she's going to do that much. She's just going to be just unblocked or something. And again, I did nothing wrong. I know I did nothing wrong to the Palins. I love the Palin family, and it was a great interview that we had. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. All right, give me the story, if you don't mind. I'm going to grab a call, Carrie, if you don't mind. Give me the story ready of the these are high school kids, right? Got
That's
in trouble for
right.
a banner they had?
Yes, mm-hmm. Public high school.
Was the banner like hateful or something?
No. No.
Was the banner something that was outlandish and ridiculous? And I'm trying to dance around it. And the bottom line is just the banner saying, hey, we like the president, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so we'll have that in a second. Let me go to Ed, who's in California. Ed, what's going on? Hi.
How you doing, Joe?
Living the dream, Ed.
I have to say something on that mayor from South Carolina.
That's why I took you.
I got to tell you, man, I lived out there about 15 years.
Okay.
And anybody who's lived there for more than 6 months knows about that yellow pollen from the cedar trees and all this other stuff. When it rains, after it hasn't rained a little bit, the streets run yellow. So if she's lived there for any more than a year and she's calling this a hate crime, she's not fit. She needs a check.
She's the freaking mayor. I'm guessing she's lived there a long time. She must know what pollen looks like. You're right. I live in South Central Texas. We get the cedar pollen, early juniper. We get stuff all over the damn car. And you know what we say afterwards? Holy crap, look at all the cedar. Let's wash that. I've never once thought to myself, They hate Italians. I can't believe they're doing this to me.
Yeah. The first year I was in South Carolina, that happened. I asked myself, what in the hell is this? You know, I asked the guy, lived there his whole life. He goes, oh, that's just pollen from all these cedar trees and the honeysuckles and everything. The wind just blows and it's there, and that's what it is.
Clearly, the pollen is racist. Clearly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet you it fell in like a swastika or something on her car or something. I don't know.
Wait, I'm almost surprised that she didn't write something in the pollen just to make it really look like a hate crime. Ed, thank you. I appreciate you. Points well taken. Carrie, we get that all the time here in Texas.
We certainly do. Hate it.
Washed the car yesterday. Look at all this crap on my car. Mm-hmm. What the hell's going on?
Yep.
I never thought to call the police on a hate crime alert.
And why, if she thought it were a hate crime, why would she have the car's power washed twice? Even before the police could investigate.
Because the police are clearly racist. They were not going to collect it because they're racist. They probably put the pollen there.
Gotcha.
Try to keep up with what's happening in Lamar.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, help me out with this banner. The kids are in trouble because they dared have a banner. Please fill us in.
From the blaze, a handful of students at an Arizona public high school on Friday decided to wear outfits supporting President Donald Trump to celebrate Party in the USA Day as part of Perry High School Spirit Week. And a Trump Make America Great Again banner made the trip as well. And all that soon spelled trouble at the Gilbert School. Parents told the Arizona Republic school administrators demanded their children remove their pro-Trump clothing and accessories. But a Chandler Unified school district spokesman on Monday said students were not asked to put away any Trump gear other than the banner. And Principal Dan Serrano said in a statement to KSAZ-TV that during lunch, students carrying political signage caused a disruption and created a safety concern. The students were asked to put away the signage, and they complied. However, after school ended for the day, the students unveiled the signage again in a matter that, again, caused concern for student safety. And the school's resource officer asked the students to leave campus. They declined. They also refused to respond to my request to provide their names and school identification when I sought to interview them. One mother, Jennifer Ferris, told the Republic she drove to the school after hearing her kids were being asked to remove the pro-Trump clothing, and that within 4 minutes of walking into the office, school officials ordered her to leave and that she would not be allowed on campus again. As soon as they realized I was protecting my daughter, they were immediately rude, dismissive, and told me to get off the property, Ferris told the paper. Ferris added to the Republic she was told officials deemed the Trump gear offensive and that students could face sanctions for noncompliance. And You can check out the video. Ferris arguing with Serrano, the school principal, at one point. He said students carrying the pro-Trump banner was disrespectful, and that seemingly to back up his assertion, quote, he has a kid in the Army. A school district spokesman told the Republican a separate story. The issue with the banner was related to the interactions it was causing, not that carrying a flag in itself was disrespectful. I'm infuriated, Ferris told KSAZ. I feel like they don't support our president, and they are inflicting those thoughts on our kids.
See, it's a bunch of BS is what it is. It's inappropriate. It's wrong. And the idea that I want to see the story. Maybe you can go back into the 8 years of Obama where some kid was punished for wearing an Obama shirt or an Obama hat or a Hope and Change or a Yes, We Can. I want to see where they had a National America Day or something at a high school and people weren't allowed to celebrate the current president of the United States. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing stories about parents going to campuses for which they pay through their tax dollars and being told to leave. And the old standby answer at school now appears to be you're causing a disruption so we can limit anything we want to limit. Your face is causing a disruption so you can't look this way. That sign is causing a disruption so this, that, and the other. No, enough is enough. This is just their way to push their ideology that shouldn't be happening at schools for which we pay. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Nico LaHood when we come back. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
And 1,000.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I'll set your alarm.
Stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back my friend, the former DA of Bexar County, Texas. He's a great attorney. It's Nico LaHood. Nico, how are you?
I'm blessed, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you, brother. I wanted to have you on a couple of different topics, and they're not related at all, but they both jump out at me. You know, they're both your expertise. One is Michael Cohen. Let's get into that. And the other one is vaccinations, vaxxed, anti-vaxxing. These things are starting to come to the surface lately, and you and I have talked at length both on the air and a lot off the air about this kind of stuff, so I wanted to get into that too. But let's start with Michael Cohen, because if I were in some trouble, Nico, I would call you. I think that you're a great attorney. You're a guy that I trust, and I would feel confident that I could tell you what was going on, and then that wouldn't see the light of day. For some reason, Michael Cohen, who was the confidant to then-candidate, and I guess for a little while, President Donald Trump, I guess he doesn't look at it the same way. He's decided that there is no attorney-client privilege. I'm going to say anything I want about anything I want to try to save my ass or stay out of prison for a long time. When you watch a guy like that who represents your industry, he's disbarred now, but he was a lawyer too. When you see him do what he did, does it jump out at you that it's unethical? Is there a law against it? Can he be in big trouble? What goes on when you see that?
A lot goes on. Number one, it disgusts me because I take my profession as a legal bodyguard very seriously, and it used to be an honorable profession. And I can see that a lot of the criticism that the law profession gets, not because of any one particular lawyer, but people like him. So I'm glad he's no longer a lawyer. You should not have to worry about talking to a lawyer, whether you're contemplating hiring them or whether they're actually your lawyer. The attorney-client privilege applies to both scenarios. If somebody comes in today and speaks with myself or my law partner, anything they tell us is covered by the attorney-client privilege. It's 503 in Texas, Texas Rules of Evidence 503. There's a similar federal rule as well.
Yeah.
Now, there's an exception to that. There's a crime-fraud exception, meaning that if you go to a lawyer and you're contemplating that lawyer helping you further a crime or fraud, and it should be reasonably known to the lawyer that that's going to happen, well, then you can't claim attorney-client privilege, and then that lawyer shouldn't be able to speak against you because you're both guilty or co-conspirators to a crime or a fraud. That's an exception under the rule. So, but when you're talking about him breaking the attorney-client privilege just on his own, there's no statute, at least in Texas or federal that I know of, that applies to that. It's called disbarment. Now, he's disbarred, so he doesn't care about his law license. He doesn't have it anymore. But just if somebody violates that privilege, that doesn't mean that what they say is going to be admissible against the citizen accused in court later
right,
on. So
right.
There's a lot of different remedies that balance out.
It's Nico LaHood, the former DA in Bexar County, Texas, also a great friend of mine and a wonderful lawyer. When I first contacted you, when I saw Michael Cohen sitting there just singing like a bird and being a rat, and by the way, he he completely conflicted himself in his own testimony. He also, I think, he probably opened himself up to some more criminal charges because he lied under oath saying he didn't want a job at the White House. We have proof that he actually told CNN that he was trying to get a job at the White House back in the day. But when I saw that happen, I contacted you. I said, Nico, is this guy breaking the law? I actually, because the only time you hear about attorney-client privilege is how the attorney nor the client can be compelled to give any sort of testimony on what their private conversations were in making their defense. I thought it would be against the law for him to say something. You're saying it's not illegal, but again, it's unethical.
It's unethical, and you can lose your license for it. Obviously, if a lawyer wants to continue to practice law, they want to protect that license ethically and legally at all costs. And so you can take that license away from them. And also, anything that you told to the lawyer, as long as it wasn't furthering a crime and that lawyer wasn't a co-conspirator, cannot be admissible against you later on. So there's protections.
Yeah.
And so you can't force a lawyer to speak against you. If the lawyer speaks and breaks any privilege, he can lose his or her license, and it will not necessarily mean it's going to be admissible in court later on.
And now the client can sue his face off, right? Can sue him for everything he's worth.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, it's like suing the wall. You know that. You can sue anything if you want to. Does he have, you know, malpractice insurance? Excuse me?
But that's the recourse.
Well, it's lawsuits, it's disbarment, absolutely, and it's being protected against the privilege that covered the information you told.
Okay.
The reason we have privilege is because you want a citizen accused or any client, civil or criminal matter, to be able to tell their lawyer everything, just like you want someone to tell their doctor everything without holding back, or else you can't get a proper assessment.
But there are actually laws protecting the doctor, protecting your personal information. The doctor can't put it out there. There are HIPAA laws stopping him from doing so. You're saying there isn't a law that stops a lawyer from doing this. He's just going to put his career on the line.
Right. You're not going to charge a lawyer for violating the attorney-client privilege. You'll just potentially lose your license.
I want to get into vaccinations, and it's Nico LaHood, and the new law firm is LaHood Norton?
LaHood Norton Law Group.
Okay. Yes. The great lawyer, great friend of mine, and just one of the best minds that I have in my life. When we talk about vaccinations, this is a complete change of pace here from what we just talked about. I'm somebody who never really thought twice about it. About how you get the vaccination. I do have there's a small story with me. When I was a kid, you got the smallpox vaccination, but it didn't take on me. I guess I didn't need it for some reason. You know, everybody had that circle on their shoulder about our age group, a little bit older. For some reason, it didn't take, so whatever. They thought my father had polio when he was little. It turned out there was a vaccination reaction, and he didn't have polio. So, I mean, we are a country that has been sort of addicted to vaccinations for a long time. And you make the case, and you made this case to me, and you also were in that movie called Vaxxed, that vaccinations aren't necessarily what they say they are, and we should be very careful before we subject our kids to it. I know that it's a very small part of what you believe, and we don't have a ton of time, but now there's a video game that says people like you who might not be so ready to have vaccinations for your kids are going to end the world through the spread of disease. There's now, I sent you a story just today, where we're contemplating governmentally advertising to go after people like you who are questioning our process of vaccinations. Just, if you can, just give me an overview of where you are on all this.
Wow, you gave me a lot. First of all, you're a lot older than me. So that's number one. You said we're in the same age group. Aside from that, I just look for logical consistency of any position, and does it violate Aristotle's law of non-contradiction? And so when I went through this journey of vaccines, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a pro-truther.
Okay.
I will not be labeled. That's a way to shut people down. You're an anti-this. I'm anti-murder or something like that. Maybe those nature, but I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a pro-truther. If you tell me that, show me evidence that's good for my children, I'll vaccinate them from head to toe.
Right.
Our first kids, as you know, Joe, were vaccinated per the schedule, and people need to study the CDC schedule and how it's very different for you and I versus our children today. 8 vaccines versus 72 doses over 18-year period, multiple doses from 9 to 13 at one time, containing neurotoxins like thimerosal, lead, aluminum, formaldehyde, you know, that liquid that the frog soaked in when you were in science class.
Right.
Human albumin, monkey tissue, chicken tissue, some aborted fetus tissue. I mean, the adjuvants in there and all the information would shock you.
And we're not told any of that when we're taking our kids to get them vaccinated.
Nobody tells you that. And they don't go through that. You don't look at the inserts. And there's so much information out there, and there's doctors out there. I just have asked a simple question, and so many other people have asked this. Show me the double-blind placebo study that says that all those things that I said synergistically are safe in the body. Just show it to me.
Right.
Nobody can, because there's not one out there. When you look at the lack of phase 1 studies, double-blind placebo studies, versus other pharmaceutical drugs, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense how a vaccine company is protected from lawsuit. Then you cannot, they're immune, totally immune. There's no studies. There's no follow-up studies. It doesn't make any sense logically why we march ourselves like mummies down the path of do this and force a medical procedure on somebody when a parent should be able to say no. That's like forcing chemo radiation on somebody, especially without the science to back it up.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-science. Science, Joe, as you and I have talked about, is the rational pursuit of truth, right? Rational, not irrational, pursuit of truth, not deception. And so what's rational is that there's no double-blind placebo study, and what there's no truth behind the fact that they're synergistically safe for the body, not to mention that our children are sick. We have sick kids today, yeah. Not just autism. It's 1 in 43, roughly. It used to be 1 in about 10,000 in the early 80s, 1 in 5,000 late 80s. In 1986, that's when that law passed that you can't sue them. In 1989, we have what we call it the gateway year, where all the ailments that our children are dealing with today kind of came on the scene. And then you look at studies and you look at statistics, we just have sick kids. And so I just don't buy that argument that your kid are going to make my kid sick. Well, if your kid who's vaccinated and your vaccines work so well, what do you care if my kid's not vaccinated or not?
Right.
Because what I will tell you, Joe, is my last two children have zero vaccines in them. They have not had one ear infection. When they do get sick, and guess what? It's okay to get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, the medical profession would be out of a job. Their immune system is growing. It's an immunity. Vaccination is not immunization. Two separate. I don't use those words interchangeably. Our kids' immune system grow. Within 2 to 3 days, they're fine. We use a lot of natural stuff, essential oils, good food, good eating. And when it's only in extreme case, when it's necessary, we may use antibiotics on a very serious. We don't use them on a regular basis. And our kids are well, thank God. And everyone else in their schools are sick.
Well, I want to interject this, though. And it's Nico LaHood. And we're talking about vaccinations now, but he's a great lawyer. We talked about Michael Cohen already and attorney-client privilege. I'm almost out of time. But I want to throw this out there. People listening to you are going to say, wow, he's just ignoring what we all know. And it's one of those things like the sky is blue. We should all know that vaccines work, that you inject somebody with a little bit of flu, and then suddenly you're going to grow this immunity to it. And you say immunization versus vaccination is very different. I don't think people know the difference there. The growth in autism in our children from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 40-something is startling and stunning. Why don't more people know about that? And I know that you believe this is because of the bread, the money that's backing these companies that need you just to believe the sky is blue, the vaccination is good.
As was a prosecutor, I looked at motive all the time and what's motivating people. So I have nothing against doctors. I have so many doctor friends. I mean, I support the medical profession, especially when it comes to trauma. I've had shoulder surgery from all the training.
Right.
I mean, I'm very pro. I support my doctor friends. Pharma is a different story. We know that. We know what they did with opioids. We have an opioid problem because pharma allegedly deceived the medical community and they caused the medical community to prescribe opioids. And now we have an opioid epidemic.
Right.
What happened with there? Look what happened with Vioxx. These are double-blind, allegedly placebo drugs. They were put out in the market, FDA approved, and they had to be pulled off because somebody screwed up.
Yeah.
With vaccines, you have none of those safeguards. All I'm saying is put the safeguards in order and then give, just like you have a choice to do chemo, radiation, Vioxx, opioids, you have a choice. People have choices on everything else, but they don't have a choice on vaccines. It's not logically consistent where the people that are arguing, I'm going to bring in a different argument that's going to throw you off a little bit. Sorry, it's so late in the conversation. People that are pro-choice on abortion are not pro-choice when it comes to vaccines, typically. That doesn't make sense to me. So an individual can end the life of the child in the womb, and it's a child, we all know that, in the womb. But as soon as that baby's born, you better vaccinate him. How does that make any logical sense?
Well, it's also the argument. I could go way off the beaten path and say, also the people who tell me that I have to believe science when it comes to climate tell me I don't have to believe science when it comes to gender. So we can go off on any different tangent that you want. And it's an interesting conversation that I think we should pick up. Sure. I wanted people to hear from you today, and I got to run. But I wanted people to hear from you today because of that video game that's out and because of that story that's out, that the government looks like it might actually be looking at using taxpayer dollars to advertise to go against people like you who at least are skeptical when it comes to vaccinations. And I think that's ridiculous.
I'm pro-science, I'm pro-truth, and I'm pro-education. You'll never find one interview, Joe, and you know this already, so it's rhetorical.
Yeah.
But you'll never find one interview, one advocacy point where I am advocating someone not to vaccinate. I am always advocating for put the same requirements on vaccines as any other pharmaceutical drug out there, and then educate yourself. And then either if you're a prayerful person, pray or think about it logically with the other parent. Make the best decision for your child, but don't tell me what's best for my child.
It is Nico LaHood, former DA in Bexar County, great friend of mine, a wonderful lawyer. Do they go to LaHoodNorton.com? Is that the website?
LaHoodNorton.com, LaHoodNorton.com.
LaHoodNorton.com. We'll make them do that. Nico, I appreciate you, brother. We'll talk again very soon.
Thanks, Pags. Have a blessed day.
Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
9041.
Updating you with the news.
that matters coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
To have you. Had a good laugh during the break. Every once in a while, I gotta get a good laugh. I've got people already sending me messages. Ah, this guy's a crackpot. This guy's a nut job. What the hell is he talking about with vaccinations? What I like about Nico is he's not afraid to talk about the situation in his own family. He's in that movie Vaxxed. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But there's a reason, or there has to be a reason why the increase, I mean, from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 43, autism in children, that's a big deal. And I never heard him say, don't vaccinate. And I'm not going to defend him. I'm just going to repeat what he said. I never heard him say, don't vaccinate. What he said was, why aren't we doing testing? Why aren't we testing to make sure we know everything that's in these vaccines before we shove them into our kids' veins or into our kids' bodies? And I think that that's an appropriate thing to do. I don't want anything in my body. I don't know, you know, what it does or doesn't do. And we're just taking the word of pharmaceutical companies in a large part. What we're going to do, Carrie, and you and I talked about it a little bit during the break.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll do is he's got a very good friend. He used to work for a huge pharma company. And he's got more information where we can really talk about and get into the idiosyncrasies of what's in vaccines and so on and so forth. Again, I like that he's not anti-vaccination. He's just pro. Let's make sure we know exactly what we're doing. And I'm not so sure we know that right now. And there's all of a sudden this like very strange, very financed move to go after people who are questioning vaccinations. It's like in journalism. You and I agree. Be skeptical.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we be skeptical before we just have somebody, you know, shoot needles in our kids? I think that we should be.
We should know more, bottom line is, he doesn't want his kids getting sick. I don't want my kids getting sick. I don't want them getting
exactly
measles
right.
and mumps when, you know, that's pretty much phased out. But it's now making right. a return now.
Right. It's a very, very important topic. And that's why I wanted to just sort of tip of the iceberg there. We'll have Nico back on. We'll have his friend on, who's also a friend of mine. And we'll talk about what we do know from the pharmaceutical companies, you know, where the money is being made, why so many billions of dollars are being, you know, invested in shutting down anybody who would simply be skeptical. And I think it's an important topic that we'll certainly get to. Polo, I'm guessing that you won't use this, but Donald Trump, our president, tweeted some sort of congratulatory tweet about Hillary Clinton not running for president again. And her response was that he's obsessed with her. Why is he so obsessed with me? I think she said, like, why is he obsessed? Unless she was in a Southern Baptist church, where she probably said, you know, I don't know why he'd be obsessed with me.
Well, actually, she used
a
gif from Mean Girls, which I'm sure she's never seen.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
she could have started Mean Girls. Come on.
Yeah. I'm assuming somebody did that for her because I'm sure she's never seen that movie or knows about that reference at all. So.
Well, since we have you on the camera and on the air, let's do some pop culture. All right, man, let's make that happen. What do you do, unplug yourself?
Yeah, something.
Nice.
Yeah. So R. Kelly was interviewed today by Gayle King, and they're going to show it tomorrow. And they've already, you know, released a few little clips here and there. And you can see at one point he gets really upset and I mean, he's crying. Another time he stands up and he's kind of like yelling, you know, saying for people to quit playing and that he's, you know, fighting for his life, you know, with all this stuff. And I don't know.
What I don't understand about that case is they've got, like, videotapes of him doing this with these children. What's the question?
I don't know. We'll have to watch.
But he put on a big show about how innocent he is?
Yeah, but it's a little funny that he did that interview and then Oprah's doing the thing with Michael Jackson, so it's, you know, pretty interesting.
There you go. All right, we got to run. For Kerry, for Polo, for Sam, it's Joe Pags. Same time, same place tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags.